For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. Set your dials, and don't forget to tune in. We're here every week bringing you the latest and greatest related to health and wellness, and this week is absolutely no exception. I'm really excited to have our special guest with us. He's a number one New York Times best-selling author and is going to be sharing with us some amazing information about brain health. This is an incredibly popular topic, and we know that brain disorders and brain decay is plaguing our country. People are terrified of the prospects of Alzheimer's disease, dementia, Parkinson's, ALS. We see more and more of these cases crop up, and Dr. Perlmutter's work is groundbreaking in helping us to understand how lifestyle, diet, and nutrition play a critical role in the risk factors for developing these conditions. He's truly pioneered a whole new look at classifying these conditions as preventable diseases, just as we understand that heart disease is a preventable disease. And today he's going to be discussing with us all of those topics, in addition to the primary points and incredible information that he's revealed in his New York Times best-selling book called Grain Brain, The Surprising Truth About Wheat, Carbs, and Sugar, Your Brain's Silent Killers. Grain Brain is in its ninth printing and is now being published in 17 countries. Dr. Perlmutter is a board-certified neurologist and fellow of the American College of Nutrition who received his MD degree from the University of Miami School of Medicine, where he was awarded the Leonard G. Roundtree Research Award. He is a frequent lecturer at symposia sponsored by such medical institutions as Columbia University, the University of Arizona, Scripps Institute, New York University, and Harvard University. He has contributed extensively to the world medical literature and is the author of 7 books. He has been interviewed on many nationally syndicated television shows, including 2020, Larry King Live, CNN, Fox News, Fox and Friends, Today Show, Oprah, Dr. Oz, and the CBS Early Show. He is a recipient of the Linus Pauling Award for his innovative approach to neurological disorders, and in addition was awarded the Denham Hammond Award for his pioneering work in the application of free radical science to clinical medicine. He is the recipient of the 2006 National Nutritional Foods Association Clinician of the Year Award and was awarded the Humanitarian of the Year Award from the American College of Nutrition in 2010. Dr. Perlmutter serves as a medical advisor for the Dr. Oz Show. Dr. Perlmutter, thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning. It's an important message you're going to give to
us. Dr. Passero, thank you for having me. I'm delighted.
So let's just get right into this here. Let's talk about your number one New York Times best-selling book, Grain Brain. It's the number one book in America in the area of brain health. Why is the interest? We've got a huge stuff going on with gluten-free and this thing about grains. Help us understand why people are so interested in your book and the information you're getting out there.
I think that the big reason is, you know, we really don't have any answers for people in terms of pharmaceutical responses for some of our most devastating brain conditions, like Alzheimer's, for example. You know, that's a disease affecting 5.4 million Americans, causing about 500,000 deaths in this country every year, and there is not a single treatment for the disease available today as you and I have this conversation. And yet, what is so heart-wrenching is that modern peer-reviewed, well-respected science published is telling us that it's a preventable situation. It's not just that Grain Brain brought that to the public awareness. I wrote about it in Grain Brain because that's what the literature is talking about. Dr. Deborah Barnes, University of California, San Francisco, publishing in the journal Lancet Neurology, indicated that about 54% of Alzheimer's patients didn't have to get that disease if lifestyle choices were made. In other words, if they would have been given the information. So I think that's where the traction of the book comes from. And I know you know, you mentioned it. It was in its 9th printing. Well, it's now in its 15th printing.
Oh, so wow!
It's come a long way, and you know, oddly enough, it's here we are 32 weeks later since it was launched on, and remains on the New York Times bestseller list. Next week, it's number one again. So, you know, I'm just saying that what you're saying is true. People are so desperate for this information, finally realizing that it's not going to come in the form of a prescription from the doctor. It doesn't exist, and yet it is a preventable situation. Alzheimer's is costing Americans over $200 billion each year, which is twice what we're spending on heart disease. It's triple what we're spending on taking care of cancer patients. It's an absolute epidemic. It's almost as big of an epidemic as ADHD, affecting 6.5 million American kids. That's a devastating situation when you recognize that two-thirds of those kids are on stimulant medication.
Sure.
And doctors and parents are supposed to take a deep breath and think that's the way we should be treating these kids. You know, 85% of the ADHD medications manufactured on the planet are used right here in the United States. Now, what does that tell us? Does it tell us that we're smarter than everybody else because we're medicating the heck out of our children? I tend to think not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a scary statistic. And I think it is so powerful to think about this. I mean, we have conditions that people know they're going to face as they get older, just based by statistics like heart disease or possibly cancer. And medicine has spent a lot of time and energy developing these interventions. I just got off the phone right before you called. My technical guy who works on my computers, I called him yesterday to do some work in my office. His wife called me this morning. He was admitted to Johns Hopkins yesterday with a heart attack. He's on the deck to get a quadruple bypass surgery. We have interventions for things like heart attacks. He's going to be okay. For things like cancer, we have chemotherapy and surgery. But Dr. Perlmutter, we don't have anything that medicine has developed that can rush in and save somebody from Alzheimer's.
No question. And again, you know, the take-home message of the day here is that your lifestyle choices play a fundamental role in determining your brain's destiny.
Okay, so nobody's talking about that. Nobody's saying, everybody's saying, everybody knows if you exercise and eat right, you can reduce your risk of heart disease, diabetes, even cancer. There's good evidence. But nobody's talking about brain disorders and cognitive issues being lifestyle. What's going on?
Well, it's not for lack of information. And again, you asked why people are reading Grain Brain. It's because finally I brought that information to light. Matter of fact, I was on the Dr. Oz show on Thursday of last week, and it's exactly what I talked about. And it was, you know, when he introduced me, he said, you know, Dr. Perlmutter's back. He created a firestorm when he was here last time when he talked about the dangerous role of carbohydrates for brain health.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe it is a firestorm when you tell people that the food that they're eating is damaging the brain. Yes, it's the same diet that damages the heart. It's the same diet that causes diabetes and cancer. And that is the high-carbohydrate diet that is the typical diet of Americans and really Western cultures. And really, a lot of the world culture now is eating a diet much higher in carbohydrate, and it is killing people. The good news is the glass is half full. Change your diet by restricting your carbohydrates, eating more healthy fat, and you will pave the way to health, longevity, and preserving brain health and function, as well as making the brain resistant for disease.
Okay, so I want to take a break now. We're a little short on this segment, but I have a feeling we're going to get into some really big topics in the next segment. I want you to talk about the specifics of what you discuss in Grain Brain. What does the research tell us? What type of grains we need to avoid? What's the deal with gluten, as everybody's picking on gluten these days? What is your research telling us about why it's so bad for the brain and why it's so bad for the body? Help us understand the science, not just the craze of paleo diets and everybody giving up grain. I want you to share with us what you've discovered and why it is so important, not just for our brain, but for our entire health, to change our diet in this way. Does that sound like a good plan, Doc?
I'm there.
Okay, great. This is Dr. Kevin Pissarro with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy-free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder-free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code. Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. We've got a great show lined up for you. We've got Dr. David Perlmutter, a number one New York Times bestselling author of his new book, Grain Brain, The Surprising Truth About Wheat, Carbs, and Sugar, Your Brain's Silent Killer. So, Dr. Perlmutter, in the break, you were talking to me about some compelling information that you discussed with Dr. Oz on a show last week, and we're going to post some links to that as well so people can watch those compelling videos and have you detail the information. But let's get into some of the nuts and bolts of the book. I mean, what is the take-home message of Grain Brain, and help us understand some of the science behind why grains, potentially all grains, are bad, and then we should get into what do you suggest people actually eat. So why don't you start with the first question of the take-home message of Grain Brain?
I think the take-home message is clearly one of empowerment, and that is that you can make lifestyle choices today that will ensure a health and functionality of your brain tomorrow, next year, 5 years, 10 years down the line. That's the take-home message. Then, as you mentioned, the nuts and bolts, I mean, what are the big legs of that hold this stool up? Number one is people have got to dramatically reduce their carbohydrates. Now, why would I say, for example, that there might be some risk increase for becoming demented if you favor high carbohydrates and tell people that they should be eating more fat? Where's the science? Well, the Mayo Clinic, well-respected Mayo Clinic, publishing in the journal Alzheimer's Disease in January of 2012, published a very compelling report that showed that those elderly individuals favoring a high carbohydrate diet have about an 88% increased risk for becoming demented.
88?
88% increased risk for developing dementia, and as I mentioned to you a moment ago, that is a situation for which there is no treatment. In addition, even perhaps more importantly, they demonstrated that those individuals who favor a high-fat diet have about a 42% risk reduction in becoming demented. So, you know, as far as the science, that was published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, January 1st, 2012, volume 32, if anyone really wants to get the journal. You know what? On drperlmutter.com, drperlmutter.com, I have all these references, PDFs of these references listed, so you can search the science section by diet, for example, and it'll come up. So that said, you know, it's not like Grain Brain was written because I had some interesting ideas It is written based upon this level of well-respected science,
mm-hmm.
that carbohydrates and blood sugar elevations are damaging to the brain. August 8th, 2013, last year, in the New England Journal of Medicine. I mean, I think most people would probably say that's one of the most well-respected medical journals on the planet. An article entitled Glucose Levels and Risk of Dementia. An amazing report looking at over 2,000 participants. And what they did was they took these individuals, they measured their blood sugars, and then they followed these individuals for about 7 years. And what they found was a perfect correlation between blood sugar at the initial evaluation and risk for developing dementia. The higher the blood sugar at the initial evaluation, the higher the risk for becoming demented. Now, we've known for a long time that people with diabetes, for example, have a dramatic increased risk for becoming demented. But what this study showed that was so compelling, again, just last year published, was that even having a blood sugar of 105 was a dramatic risk for becoming demented. Now, you know, truthfully, and you'll agree that most doctors are going to look at a blood sugar of 105, 110 and say, well, you know, you're not diabetic. Don't worry about it. Maybe get some exercise, but give you a pat on the back and out the door you go. That's not good enough, because when you read journals like the New England Journal of Medicine, it is very clear that even mild, subtle elevations of blood sugar translate into a powerful risk for becoming demented. And as mentioned, that's a situation for which there is no treatment.
Sure.
And yet, here's information that's telling us why it's happening. What is causing this problem? It's elevations of blood sugar. And guess what? You control your blood sugar based upon the foods that you eat. Eat carbs and sugar, blood sugar goes up, increases risk for dementia. That's why the Mayo Clinic showed us that eating more fat is associated with a reduced risk of that very dreaded situation. So the bottom line, and what I showed on Dr. Oz last week, was fat is our friend. We've got to embrace the healthful notion that eating fat is good. But by that, I mean good fats: olive oil, coconut oil, nuts and seeds, wild fish, grass-fed beef, free-range eggs. These are good fats. They're nutrients for the brain. They're giving the brain what it needs to build better brain cells, to enhance brain function, and to make the brain resistant to disease.
Okay. So I want to back up and talk about a couple points that you brought up. So you certainly have laid out a good evidence for the research relating to people with either diabetes or slightly elevated blood sugars, even above that. You know, the reference range on the lab goes up to about 99. So even at 105, 110, we can see people are pushing that upper limit. But let's talk about the average person. Maybe their fasting blood sugars are right where they should be, right at 85 or 87, yet they still have a very carb-centric diet. How do we know that eating more carbs might still be affecting their overall risk for becoming demented, even if the lab tests are showing on basic screening tests that everything is still in the normal range? Could they still benefit from cutting grains out?
First of all, I think we have to challenge the so-called normal range. And I do that in Grain Brain. You know, the normal range is up to about 95 to even 100 in terms of blood sugar. You'd still be considered normal range. Well, normal means average. It means you take a large number of people, and what is abnormal then falls, you know, outside of the two standard deviations of what is average. I'm not interested in a normal blood sugar. And I tell that to my patients. I say, you know, yeah, by the lab's definition, you're in the normal range. I want you to have an optimal blood sugar. I want your blood sugar to be the best it can be. I'd like it to be a 85, maybe 88 in that. That's the best. So if people are running a blood sugar in the upper 80s and running a low average blood sugar, a blood test that we call A1C, running an A1C around 5.0 or 5.2, I'm okay. And it means that they're getting away with eating those carbohydrate foods because likely they have a level of bacteria in their gut, good bacteria, that are able to metabolize those carbohydrates and liberate less sugar into the system, and therefore they're doing well. The biggest issue, I think, that we see and we're beginning to understand in terms of people not tolerating even small amounts of carbohydrates is when they've damaged the gut bacteria. Our whole metabolism, the way we handle fat and sugar, our immunity, our detoxification, inflammation, are all governed by the levels and the array of bacteria that live within the intestine, which we call our microbiota. So when you traumatize the bacteria that live in the gut by taking things like antibiotics, by drinking chlorinated water, by being born by cesarean section, this changes the ability of your body to handle and deal appropriately with the various foods that you may be eating. It changes your body's ability, for example, to deal with immunizations. It sets the stage for things like inflammation, which is the cornerstone of diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and Alzheimer's. So it's the answer to your question about how some people seem to be able better to tolerate consumption of carbohydrates as opposed to others. We do know that there is an array of bacteria in the gut that will cause some people to gain weight and become fat as opposed to other people, just based on the different bacteria that they may harbor in their intestines. There are fat bacteria that can help make you fat versus thin bacteria. They have various names, well demonstrated in laboratory animals, that when you put human bacteria into the gut of laboratory mice, those bacteria that came from a fat person will make that mouse fat. So the bacteria, to a significant degree, control how we metabolize the very foods that we consume.
Yeah, and it's not just about, from what I understand, you know, what bacteria you're stuck with. One of the biggest ways to influence which bacteria are inhabiting your GI system is through diet and through eating, you know, lots of vegetables and whole foods and low glycemic foods. That's usually the best way to actually create large shifts in the microbiota of the GI system. It's not just about taking probiotics or, you know, doing these other therapies. You've got to stick with the lifestyle, and that can oftentimes create very positive shifts in the flora of the GI. Isn't that correct?
No question. And I think that it's important to realize that, you know, when we take probiotics, and I think it's a good idea, you know, you may have a probiotic preparation that has 4 different strains or maybe even 10 different strains of bacteria, but recognize that the gut contains about 1,000 different strains of bacteria. So we're just at the very beginning of understanding what we're doing by giving probiotics, and more importantly, what therapeutic options may be available to reconstitute the gut bacteria. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be visiting a group at Harvard and MIT who have developed a gut reimplantation program, putting the human microbiome back together again by taking stool from individuals who are healthy and reimplanting it into individuals who are not. So I'll be exploring that tomorrow and taking a video of that and putting that on my website. Very fascinating time where we're beginning to understand that what goes on in the gut plays a huge role in determining the health and functionality of the brain. Who knew that there was this incredible relationship between gut bacteria and the goings-on in the intestines and the health and functionality of the brain, to the extent that in September of this year, a new medical journal is being launched called Brain and Gut, with editors from Harvard and Johns Hopkins. This is very, very exciting. This is going to be a medical journal, peer-reviewed medical journal. I've been chosen to be the editor-in-chief of this journal. It's going to be published in 110 countries. So it's really changing the playing field in terms of broadening our scope about what affects the brain and what affects the body and how things interrelate. It's really a very, very exciting time.
It is an exciting time. The research and science that we're understanding about the role of, and I talked with Dr. Deanna Menick a couple weeks ago about this exactly, related to foods and plants and phytonutrients and the way that they're turning on and turning off genes and dictating their genetic expression, understanding now what's going on with the gut biome and the vast impact that it has on our health in general. I truly feel that these are the tools, that these are going to be the research breakthroughs that really are the catalyst for major transformations in people's health and are going to, in many ways, blow the doors off of what we thought was advanced medicine in regards to just using pharmaceuticals and other interventions.
Well, I hope your listeners really embrace what Dr. Becerra has just said. This is this is the new medicine. This is the vanguard of medicine, not just from an interventional perspective about what we can do when people are sick, but even perhaps more so from a preventive perspective, when we recognize, for example, that the incredible overusage of antibiotics not only is leading to the development of antibiotic-resistant organisms, which is a major threat, according to the World Health Organization, published just last week, to human health, but beyond that, recognizing how the overusage of antibiotics threatens each and every individual by damaging the bacteria that live in the gut, by changing the levels of good versus bad bacteria, by altering the diversity of that fingerprint that could have coded for health. So yep. That was well said.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dr. Perlmutter, I want to talk about a couple other things related to blood sugar and how it affects the brain. And then I want to get into some of the other things that you recommend in the diet. Talk a little bit about fat, because people are terrified of including more fat in the diet, and I want you to start to explain to people how important it is and how safe it is and how necessary it is for all of our cells, particularly our brain cells, to have the right kind of fat in the right quantity. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living. We've got Dr. Perlmutter on the line today, so don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this break.
Megafood premium whole food supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and I am thrilled to have Dr. David Perlmutter on the phone with us today. He is a board-certified neurologist and fellow of the American College of Nutrition and also the author of a number one New York Times best-selling book called Grain Brain, The Surprising Truth About Wheat, Carbs, and Sugar, Your Brain's Silent Killers. In the last segment, we were talking about blood sugar issues in relation to brain health, Dr. Perlmutter, and I just briefly would love for you to touch on, you know, what is it about elevated blood sugars that are so damaging to the brain? What's the, because I've seen you lecture and you explain it so beautifully. What is the mechanism as to why this process hurts our brain so dearly?
So the notion that that the brain loves sugar. It's its preferred fuel is old news. It's out of date and it's patently wrong. I mean, it turns out that the brain actually is far more efficient when it's being powered by fat, which is really how the human brain has been powered for 2 million years. But that said, when blood sugar is elevated, it binds to protein, and this mechanism is called glycation. Protein binds to sugar. When the protein is bound to sugar, it creates a different sort of appearing molecule. The protein is then changed in terms of how it looks. And when that happens, when we glycate our proteins, it does two things that are not good. Number one, it increases inflammation. And number two, it dramatically increases the production of damaging chemicals called free radicals. Free radicals are the reason we take antioxidants to protect ourselves, because free radicals damage our tissue. They damage our fat, our protein. They even damage our DNA, our book of life. So we want to keep free radical activity to a minimum. When you glycate your proteins, when sugar binds to proteins, when sugar is elevated, you increase the damage to our tissue, your tissues, through this mechanism of glycation. Now, turns out there's a very handy way of measuring the degree of this process in humans, and it's called the A1C test. Now, any of your diabetic patients who are listening today have, of course, heard of the A1C because it's used by many doctors as a marker of the average blood sugar. It sort of represents what the blood sugar has been over a 3 to 4 month period of time. But it is also a marker of this process of sugar binding to protein, because the A1C is basically a protein, hemoglobin, bound to sugar. That's what we measure. The higher the A1C means that the higher this process is going on, the more aggressive it is, the more that the sugar is binding to protein, the more free radicals are produced, the more inflammation there is. So there are actually wonderful studies that have demonstrated that the A1C test, the average blood sugar, the binding of sugar to hemoglobin, is a powerful risk factor for the development of Alzheimer's disease. And in fact, it's the number one most powerful risk marker to determine that your brain is degenerating. And that was published actually way back in 2005 in the journal Neurology. That's put out by the American Academy of Neurology. They've shown that the A1C is the most powerful risk, predictive risk marker for developing dementia.
Wow.
In addition, it's correlated to the rate at which your brain shrinks. That's why it's really important to get your blood sugar down.
Mm. And so what, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but what ranges do you like to see A1C?
4.8 to 5.2, and don't worry about putting me on the spot. I live on the spot. So that's where I like to see the A1C, between 4.8 to 5.2. There's a perfect correlation. In fact, in my book, Grain Brain, on page 117, is a graph that shows exact correlation as A1C elevates, meaning the connection of sugar to protein based upon the blood sugar. As that elevates, so does the rate of brain shrinkage on an annual basis. Mm. Your brain shrinks, you wake up not so smart.
Yeah, unbelievable. So let's talk about the fat issue. Thank you for explaining that, Dr. Perlmutter. Mm-hmm. People are terrified of fat. We've been fed the line all through the 80s into the early 90s, low-fat diets, reduce the risk of heart disease, eliminate fat from your diet, be terrified of coconut oils, even good quality fats. Help us understand why fat is safe, why fat isn't going to give us heart attacks, and why fat is necessary for the brain.
Well, first, we've got to understand that we've got to talk about good fats versus bad fats. Last month in the Annals of Internal Medicine was a wonderful report, a meta-analysis, looking at over 500,000 individuals. And it demonstrated that those individuals eating high levels of omega-3s have a reduced risk for heart disease, as opposed to the common fats that people consume, the vegetable oils, the sunflower, safflower, and corn oils, for example, that are on the grocery store shelves, that are associated with an increased risk of heart disease, like the trans fats. And the same holds for the brain. But to get back to that report for just a moment, what the study also showed was that eating high levels of the dreaded saturated fat had no risk increase for developing heart disease, none whatsoever. Mm. A study of more than 500,000 individuals. I actually just made a little video on that topic that's on Facebook, so people can find that under Saturated Fats and Perlmutter. The point is that we've known that across the board, the cardiovascular risk parameters are lower in people eating more fat and less carbohydrate. And that's not news. That was published July the 17th, 2008, in the New England Journal of Medicine. And what did it show? This was actually an interventional trial lasting 2 years. And it demonstrated, the graphs on the report are so compelling, it showed that, first of all, people eating the most fat lost the most weight, had the best reduction in what is called body mass index, had a much higher level of HDL or good cholesterol, and they dropped their triglyceride levels almost 10 times as much as people on a low-fat diet.
Mm-hmm.
The LDL, or so-called bad cholesterol, well, was much higher in people on the low-carb diet than it was in people eating the high-fat. And perhaps most importantly, a blood test called C-reactive protein, which is a marker of inflammation, a marker for risk for heart disease and Alzheimer's, was dramatically reduced in those individuals eating the highest amount of fat and the least amount of carbohydrates. So again, this isn't Dr. Perlmutter writing a book because I happen to have some ideas. This is the New England Journal of Medicine, and this was published way back in 2008, and no one wants to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, people still are, they go to these commercial weight loss programs where everything featured is low fat, only 10 grams of fat or whatever it is. You see the commercials on television for a certain sandwich chain that will allow you to lose weight if you eat more and more of these what are called sub sandwiches. I'm not going to give the name of the place away, but figure that one out.
Close enough.
Yeah, there you go. It's not about fat, it's about carbs.
Yep.
You can eat fat and remain thin. It works.
Right, and not only remain thin, but also not increase risk factors for other serious conditions like heart disease, and that is the line we have been fed for quite a long time.
No, then. You'll reduce those risk factors by eating more fat. Who knew?
Right. But people will say, okay, doc, well, you say I can eat more fat, so I can eat eggs in the morning, but my cholesterol is going to go up, and then my doctor's going to want to put me on a statin drug. What do we do about that?
Well, I would ask that individual to ask his or her doctor to show you any study that has demonstrated that eggs will raise cholesterol, because they don't. In the journal Metabolism, there's a wonderful report. It was published in 2012 called Whole Egg Consumption Improves Lipoprotein Profiles and Insulin Sensitivity. So the point is that good eggs, pasture-raised eggs, are good for your heart. They contain an incredible chemical. There's a chemical that was just discovered in eggs that has been shown to actually act as a brain antioxidant. It's a fundamental component of every cell membrane in your body, including brain cells. It's the precursor of vitamin D, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and cortisol. The chemical is called it's called cholesterol. Cholesterol is found in eggs, in the egg yolk. That's why we eat the egg yolk, because it's good to eat cholesterol. Your body thrives when it eats cholesterol. Eating cholesterol is not a problem for human beings. We love cholesterol. 25% of all the cholesterol in your body is stored in your brain, where it's desperately important. Those elderly individuals with the highest cholesterol have a 70% risk reduction for becoming demented. The issue for the heart has nothing to do with total cholesterol. It has far more to do with oxidized or damaged LDL, or so-called bad cholesterol. It has far more to do with levels of blood sugar and glycation of proteins.
Mm-hmm.
The cholesterol idea, tying that to heart disease, is a myth, as was recently stated by the people who've conducted the Framingham studies. Those are the big epidemiologic studies that were used to justify the statin medications.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean that statin medications don't have a place in individuals with existing heart disease who happen to be male, not female.
Yep.
But the mechanism whereby those statin medications work and do indeed reduce risk for recurrent events of heart attack has nothing to do with the effect on cholesterol. It has to do with the effect of the statin medications as anti-inflammatory medications.
Yep.
So it's time to take a step back. There's a great book called The Cholesterol Myth, written by my friend Dr. Steven Sinatra. Really wonderfully lays out the peer-reviewed science that gives us a new understanding about cholesterol, allows us to really take a step back and recognize that food like grass-fed beef and wild fish and pasture-raised eggs are friendly to the brain and the heart.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, the whole message to me is so interesting, Dr. Perlmutter, because we look at how grains have worked themselves into our diet, and it really has only been a very small snippet of time when you look at the general period of time in human history, where for so many thousands and hundreds of thousands of years, humans developed these elaborate physiological processes that were in the context of virtually no grains. We were hunter-gatherers. We weren't farmers. We didn't have as many grains and legumes. We didn't have access to them. And our bodies developed these responses to sugars and rises in hormones like insulin without all of these grains in our diet. And I really think, correct me if I'm wrong, that a lot of the science that you present in your book and that's coming out relating to grains and high carbohydrate and low-fat diet is basically reflective of the fact that our human physiology didn't evolve with these things.
That's right. You know, it takes about 40 to 50,000 years for us to adapt to these new influences. And, you know, people say, well, we've always eaten grains and we've always eaten bread. My goodness, it's in the Bible, for crying out loud. You know, give us this day our daily bread. Well, when was the Bible? Ask yourself, if you believe that, when was the Bible written? It was written, I guess, around 2,000 years ago. Well, we've been on the planet for about 2 million years. So for 99.6% of our existence, we've been gluten-free, low-carb, high-fat. And
yep.
That's what our genome is expecting. So
exactly.
I have an upcoming PBS special called Brain Change, and I go through all this. It's an hour and a half long show, and I go through how all this works and what is this fallacy of dietary fat restriction and why grains really represent a threat. The schedule for the upcoming PBS special is on drperlmutter.com, which is my website, drperlmutter.com. The show is called Brain Change.
And that's drperlmutter, P-E-R-L-M-U-T-T-E-R.com. Dr. Perlmutter, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about the hot-button topic of gluten. It's, you know, making big gains. It's, you know, big press everywhere. Should I be gluten-free? Should I not? Everybody's claiming their products are gluten-free. I wanted you to help us understand specifically the role of gluten and what you've discovered in regards to its effect specifically on the brain based on the work that you've been doing. So don't go anywhere, everybody. This is Dr. Kevin Pacero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, and we're going to be back right after this break.
To digest your food more effectively and more comfortably, you need extraordinary enzymes from Life Extension. With 12 natural enzymes that work together to support a healthy digestive system, extraordinary enzymes helps your body convert protein, fiber, and fat to energy and better absorb nutrients from the foods you eat. It also helps break down vegetables that are hard to digest. And unlike commercial supplements, it doesn't contain the amylase enzyme, which can promote unhealthy after-meal glucose spikes. So stop by Village Apothecary in Bethesda and ask for Life Extension's extraordinary enzymes.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is hot plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants from the Science of Enzymatic Therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probalarde from Metagenics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. help maintain control while traveling, or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probalardi provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function, in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probalardi is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. My wonderful host, Dana Lake, will be returning next week. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I'm sure you are learning a lot today, as am I. I have on the phone with us today, discussing with us the topic of brain health, Dr. David Perlmutter, MD. He's the author of the number one New York Times bestselling book, Grain Brain, The Surprising Truth About Wheat, Carbs, and Sugar, Your Brain's Silent Killers. He's referenced a lot of great resources on his website, which is Dr. Perlmutter, PERLMUTTER.com. So please log on to his website, order his book, learn about how diet and lifestyle can dramatically reduce your risk of dealing with very, very serious brain issues. Now, Dr. Perlmutter, I could keep you on the phone for hours here, but let's talk about in this last segment, let's lead off with the conversation about gluten. It is a huge topic. Everybody's interested in it. Everybody's going gluten-free. There's debate about do you need to, do you not need to. Help us understand the raw science behind gluten and the brain.
So gluten is a chemical to which humans have never been exposed. We mentioned that in the last segment, had a conversation about the fact that, you know, we've never had gluten in our diets. There weren't wheat fields that we would be exposed to and wheat products. You know, the reason that we have these products, wheat products, for example, that make up 20% of the calories in the American diet is because they don't spoil. You can transport them. They can sit in the box in the cabinet until you're ready for your cereal in the morning. After, you know, 8 to 10 months, still ready to go. And that allowed humans to explore the world. But that said, these products contain a chemical called gluten. It's a protein to which we've never been exposed. And when you expose our gut and our physiology to something foreign, we mount an immune response. Because something's foreign introduced into the body, the immune system gets turned on to challenge this, and it creates inflammation. And as I mentioned earlier, inflammation is a process that is key, a key player in everything bad that you don't want to get, from cancer to heart disease to Alzheimer's. It's just what, and diabetes, it's what you're trying your very best to avoid, and gluten induces inflammation in all humans.
Not just gluten-sensitive people.
Right, not just the 1.8% of individuals who may be suffering from celiac disease, which happens to be a unique autoimmune condition, or the 30% of humans who may have laboratory provability with reference to gluten sensitivity, but according to Dr. Alessio Fasano at Harvard, all humans have some degree of sensitivity to this very foreign protein. Not only does it lead to leakiness of the gut, so that certain protein bacteria and viruses get into the bloodstream, whereas they would normally have been excluded, but what we've now learned is that the sacred blood-brain barrier is also compromised to some degree when gluten-containing foods are consumed. So it becomes a very big issue from a scientific perspective, well beyond the fact that it's a fad, perhaps, and a tennis player's game got improved because he went gluten-free. You know, the fad part of this story, which people need to understand, is what I am suggesting here is not to shop on the gluten-free aisle in the grocery store. That's a huge mistake. I'm not suggesting that there are health benefits to gluten-free bread, crackers, cakes, and pasta. Why? While they may be gluten-free, they're going to pound your body with carbohydrates, which was what you and I talked about during the first couple of segments. So just because a food happens to be gluten-free doesn't give you license to go ahead and suck it down because you can eat all you want. Not true. Gluten-free foods, by and large, are still very, very high in carbs. So there's two things to pay attention to. Number one, cut the carbs. Number two, don't eat foods with gluten. So, you know, your listeners are probably saying, oh, gosh, if I do that, there'll be nothing left. And that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all kinds of above-ground vegetables. You've got wonderful grass-fed meats of various sources, fish. You've got goat's cheese, organic goat's cheese, nuts and seeds, avocado, all kinds of wonderful foods. We've just submitted my new book, which is the Grain Brain recipe book that'll be out in a couple of months. 150 recipes. It's not that hard. And I'm not even a good cook.
I was going to say, what'd you eat for breakfast this morning, Doc?
Frankly, I didn't have anything for breakfast this morning. I eat sometimes once a day. But when I'm going to be working, I do have breakfast, and I would have like a three-egg omelet with kale or spinach,
mm-hmm.
Goat's cheese, lots of extra virgin organic olive oil, a coffee, and that might be the only thing I eat in a day. So, you know, we live in a time of abundance, and it's this abundance that's killing people. Basically, we're overfed and undernourished. So it's true. We've got to cut back on the amount that we eat. But what I tell my patients is I want you to eat a lot. I want you not to be hungry. And I want you to eat a lot of food, and I explain what those foods
right,
are.
Good quality foods.
I do, and my dietitian does. But the point is, when you increase your fat consumption, you're satisfied. You've triggered your satiety chemicals. So, you know, this whole notion of leptin signaling is really very, very important. So we can use our evolved brain that has been over millions of years has evolved to be receptive to certain chemicals that are produced when we eat fat, to know that it's time to push away from the table. Just the opposite happens when you eat carbs, especially fructose. You don't turn off that system that tells you it's time to stop eating.
Right, so you say fructose. Let's talk about fruit.
Yes, fruit contains fructose or fruit sugar, which is the real downside of fruit. That's why I'm saying to people, you should stop eating the 4 to 6 servings of fruit each day that you were told to eat. You should stop eating that. Why? Because fruit, we love fruit. Who doesn't like grapes and pears and apples? Because they're loaded with sugar. And a lot of that sugar is fruit sugar going by the name fructose. Fructose and glucose, according to a recent report in the Journal of the American Medical Association, have very different effects on brain signaling. That the satiety centers of the brain, the area that says, oh, I've eaten enough, time to stop eating, that area does not get stimulated when you eat fructose. That comes from eating fruit. Have an apple a day. Have a handful of blueberries. No problem. But the 4 to 6 servings of high fructose containing food that we call fruit has to be avoided. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
A glass of orange juice. A 12-ounce glass of orange juice has 9 heaping teaspoons of sugar in it. That's just like table sugar,
mm-hmm.
36 grams of carbohydrates. You may as well drink a can of Coke for breakfast instead.
Yeah. Many people do feel that because fruit is considered healthy, they pride themselves on being, you know, fruitarians or eating a ton of fruit. And really, it's just another form of carbohydrate, sugar, and some significant problems in relation to blood sugar stabilization, insulin, and all of these things that you've talked about related to inflammation. So really important to put that in check. Thank you for touching on that. We've got a few minutes left. I'm wondering, would you be comfortable, Doc, switching gears to discussing anything about concussions and head
Absolutely.
Injury? And maybe just, you know, in the last 3 or 4 minutes that we have, we know it's a huge epidemic, but I know you do so much great work with studying nutrients and understanding how things from the natural pharmacy can support our brain. Do you have some specific recommendations of things that you really like to use for supporting somebody after a concussion or brain injury,
well,
whether they're a child or
That's really important, and that is, again, let's talk about preventive medicine. And that means wearing a helmet when you're on a bike or motorcycle or even a scooter. That is so fundamental. And, you know, here in Florida where I live, there's no mandatory helmet law. When they repealed, we did used to have one, when they repealed the mandatory helmet law several years ago, the rates of head injuries skyrocketed. So the only thing that was helpful for was we've got more organ donors.
Right.
And that's a horrible way to say it,
yep.
But that's what happened because it was not considered politically what we wanted to do. People running for office lost votes if they said we need to have bring back the mandatory helmet law.
Yep.
And, you know, frankly, why do we have to wear seatbelts? It's the law, because it prevents injuries, it reduces injuries. And the same logic holds for helmets. So prevention, number one. But number two, it's really quite clear that the omega-3 DHA that comes from algae, fish oil, eating fish, is powerful in terms of protecting the brain such that when the brain becomes injured during football or soccer or you fell off your bike or whatever it may be, the degree of injury is less.
Mm-hmm.
DHA also plays a critical role in allowing the brain to recover so the brain can heal itself. And one of the techniques that we use here for this type of injury is something called hyperbaric oxygen. We have four hyperbaric chambers where these are the same chambers that, for example, divers might go into if they were injured. And this has been shown to be significantly effective in head trauma. So this is what's being done by Dr. Harsh, for example, in treating veterans, you know, people coming back with head injuries from the various war theaters that were involved in around the world, as well as being used in various NFL individuals. We know that there's a huge issue with long-term effects that are progressive, that get worse with time in these individuals who are told to put their head down and have a collision with the oncoming team.
Right. And what's interesting about what you said and some of the research I've seen is that people who are using or taking omega-3 fatty acids or they have a diet rich in omega-3 fatty acids, their brain has less damage through a similar injury and has an easier time recovering when it's been preloaded. So you can use it at the time of injury to support the healing of the brain and reducing the inflammation. But there seems to be very good evidence to suggest that having been taking it already actually reduces the risk of injury from a head trauma.
Exactly right. I mean, so that gives you another layer of protection.
Yep.
So you wear a helmet and you have a lot of DHA on board, you're in much better shape. Should something unexpected happen, at least you've got protection. And, you know, I talk about it so much, and yet, you know, it's still, I see people going down my street on scooters with their five-year-old clinging to their backs and neither of them wearing a helmet. And one of my closest friends recently had a scooter accident in the Bahamas and, you know, has sustained a severe head injury. And Brett, it didn't have to be.
Yeah, it's sad. Well, Dr. Perlmutter, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. Everybody, if you want to order his book, it's the number one New York Times bestselling book, Grain Brain, The Surprising Truth About Wheat, Carbs, and Sugar, Your Brain's Silent Killers. We'll be posting the YouTube links to his appearance on the Dr. Oz Show last week. And you can visit his website for other great resources, www.drperlmutter.com. Dr. Perlmutter, again, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, Dr. Becerra, my pleasure. And again, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. All right, everybody, that wraps up the show for today. Thank you for tuning in. This is Dr. Kevin Becerra with the Essentials of Healthy Living, wishing you all the best of health until I talk to you next. Take care. Bye-bye.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.